Hello, everybody. Happening right now is the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The drama is occurring. Kyle Rittenhouse taking the stand in his own defense is a very strange development. Meanwhile, the jury is being threatened, just so you know. The jury is being threatened in this case, and many people will probably give a ruling on the jury that they might not even believe to try to prevent future violence from happening in Kenosha. But don't worry, the Department of Justice, they're on the case. They're trying to find a missing diary that would constitute petty theft. If you want to come to America Fest, everybody, tpusa.com/AMFEST. We have Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Kayleigh McEnany, Donald Trump Jr., Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and more. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out today. Get your tickets December 18, 19, 20, 21. It's going to be amazing, everybody. We can't wait to see you there. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. We are covering the Rittenhouse drama in real time. I did not plan at all to get to this. I have a whole stack of papers to get to. I could tell you, we're going to talk about snitches. We're going to talk about how school board members in Scottsdale, Arizona have spying files on you. Some of these things are going to have to wait till tomorrow. How they're getting rid of D's and F's, how Pfizer COVID jab trials falsified data. I mean, we got a lot of stories to get to, but I want to recap the Rittenhouse stuff happening in real time. Because, look, this Rittenhouse situation is a lot bigger than just Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, why Kyle Rittenhouse decided to testify, I might be proven wrong here. I'm by no means a legal expert, but I know that it's usually not wise to take the stand in your own defense. Now, maybe it will humanize him. Maybe it will give the jury some ability to have compassion and sympathize with him. Not exactly sure the wisdom behind it, because it seems that despite Kyle doing his best, the prosecution has been so incredibly unfair. Now, with that being said, let's go into some cuts here of the judge just laying it out. But first, let's frame the reality of what's happening in Wisconsin. Cut 32, George Floyd's nephew is openly threatening jurors in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. That's right. George Floyd's nephew is openly threatening jurors that might not give them the verdict they want. So this is the way things work in America now. Judge the way, rule the way we want, or we're going to burn your city down. Put young white men who defend themselves in prison, or else we're going to destroy all the Wendy's in your local area. Play cut 32.
I ain't even going to name the people that I know that's up in the Kenosha trial. But there's cameras in there.
Yep.
It's definitely cameras up in there, and there's definitely right. People taking pictures of the juries and everything like that. We know what's going on. So we need the same results, man. We need the same results. Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin.
Oh, we need the same results. We have cameras of the jury. That is illegal what he is doing. Yet the Department of Justice is too busy trying to go find a diary that belonged to Biden's daughter while you have George Floyd's nephew. May he rest in peace always, St. George Floyd. May his memory always be a blessing. It's ridiculous how we have to put up with this charade for a couple years. And meanwhile, his nephew is threatening jurors in Kenosha. What I want to just say, though, that there is a unexpected hero, and that is the judge, Bruce Schroeder. He is a true Wisconsinite, and he is pushing back against this aggressive prosecution that is unfairly trying to frame the case into something that it isn't. So let's go one by one. Let's go to 78. The judge is scolding the prosecution. By the way, Where were judges like this standing up against election fraud? Where were judges like this standing up against the balloting issues? Where were judges like this standing up against any of the abuses of power we've seen? Where are the judges like this that stood up against the FISA warrant application to spy on Donald Trump? This is how judges are supposed to work when the prosecution acts reckless and ballistic. Play cut 78.
Why would you think that that made it okay for you, without any advance notice, to bring this matter before the jury? You are already, I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years. I have no idea why you would do something like that. And it gives, I'll leave it at that. So I don't know what you're up to.
Then cut 80. The judge continues by saying, the prosecution, this is not permitted. This judge is how every judge in the country needs to be, about standing up for the rule of law, standing up for due process, standing up for the Constitution. Play cut 80.
To what has already been introduced.
The problem is, this is a grave constitutional violation for you to talk about the defendant's silence. And that is, and you're right on the borderline. And you may be over, but it better stop.
Understood.
I can't think of the case, the initial case on it, but this is not permitted. All right. Ask the jury to come in, please.
This judge dismissed the jury twice to scold the prosecution for crossing constitutional barriers and limits regarding Kyle Rittenhouse's waiving of his Fifth Amendment rights, and also the line of questioning and not submitting basically the topics or the subjects that he was going to cross-examine Kyle Rittenhouse with. So let's play some of Kyle Rittenhouse's testimony. So Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand. That is a huge risk. Now, the only I could see positive wrinkle, I think Kyle's doing fine. He's a young guy, okay? He's a young man, and that is a tough situation. He knows he's on national TV being grilled by this jerk. But the only positive, remember, it doesn't matter necessarily how well you answer every question. What matters is, can you win over one juror? And I think, again, I'm not saying this is wise, but I think, actually, I should think deeply about that, because I'm constantly struggling. The defense's bet, let me just do this. The defense's bet is that in today's America, this decision, this case, was not going to be decided on technical law. That instead, they need to win over one juror that says they don't want to put the young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, who is largely clueless around types of ammo and places and locations, in jail. I believe that was the defense's thinking. Kyle Rittenhouse explains, cut 70, he breaks down when he is recounting how he got cornered by three men while trying to flee the conflict. I think that him crying is going to help him. I think the jury is going to see that. They saw that. They say, this is not a murderer. This is a kid who defended himself. Play cut 70.
Once I take that step back, I look over my shoulder, and Mr. Rosenbaum was now running from my right side, and I was cornered from in front of me with Mr. Zeminski, and there were... There were three people right there.
That is classic signs of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's not how a murderer talks. I don't think O.J. Simpson testified in his trial. Now, I'm not saying O.J. did it, but come on, we all know what really happened here. Dershowitz got him off. So did Kardashian. This all seems... as it's developing from the defense, is that they put a they put forward a risk that they were winning the case on the merits and on the technical side, but what they needed to do is to try to show the jury that Kyle Rittenhouse is not some sort of bitter, vengeful, sociopathic person who enjoys trying to kill. And it might pay off for the defense. I don't think Kyle has had a moment, though. Right, Connor? I don't think Kyle's had a moment where all of a sudden they've lost the case. I think he's answered some questions a little bit less than brilliantly. Whatever. It's, I mean, God bless him for what he's going through. But remember, Derek Chauvin in the Floyd trial, he remained silent the whole time, and he obviously they got the worst haircut in the world. He looked like a skinhead. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying he looked like a skinhead in the Floyd trial, and the jury just said, oh, he's terrible. Remember, you're dealing with human beings judging human beings. When it comes down to these sort of issues and this sort of a trial, this is not necessarily the code of law. It's will the jury put a young man in prison? I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial, and it's becoming the number one news story in the country, largely because of this judge and the fact that Kyle took the stand. It's a risk, but just kind of looking at the tea leaves, all they have to do, the Kyle Rittenhouse team, is win over one juror. They have to win over one juror that will not be able to live with themselves for locking up Kyle Rittenhouse and putting him in jail. Let's go to cut 44, which was not covered in the activist press. Now, mind you, the drive-bys of CNN and MSNBC and all the major news outlets, they did not cover the Rittenhouse trial nearly at all until today. As soon as Kyle Rittenhouse took the stand, they pounced. And they also got introduced to this judge who has been admonishing the prosecution. And you can kind of tell this judge is really fed up with what's going on. And that's what a judge is supposed to do. A judge is supposed to use practical judgment, prudence, and wisdom, wearing his black cloak, hopefully to have no bias and no prejudice, look at the merits of the case and say, wait a second, you can indict a ham sandwich. What are you doing here? And you could tell the judge has been poking the prosecution at every corner. The judge has been pushing back. Hold on, that's not allowed. That's not allowed. That's what a judge is supposed to do. A judge is not supposed to be a rubber stamp or a yes man for the state or the prosecution. And this is an important thing that we talked about the other day as far as how our justice system is designed, is that prosecutors are supposed to be independent of judges and vice versa. Judges are supposed to be the balance between the citizens, people that are going to be put on trial, and the prosecution, the people that do the trials, the state, the government versus the people. And what we see in the Kyle Rittenhouse drama, make no mistake, if Kyle Rittenhouse would have been a BLM incorporated activist, and if he would have shot a Trump supporter outside of a Trump rally, that none of this would be an issue. They would say they deserve it. And you know what's my justification for that? Can someone possibly explain to me why Lieutenant Michael Byrd got off for shooting Ashley Babbitt, but Kyle Rittenhouse has to go through this entire saga for shooting a child rapist and an Antifa person trying to kill them? Play cut 44. So Ashley Babbitt is allowed to get slaughtered in the Capitol building by a black police officer, whatever he is, Capitol police officer, bang, right to the head, unarmed. But Kyle Rittenhouse has a gun pointed at him, and he has to go through this entire saga as if he's a mass murdering white supremacist. We know what's really going on here. Play cut 44.
With your arms up in the air, he never fired, right?
Correct.
It wasn't until you pointed your gun at him, advanced on him, with your gun, now your hands down, pointed at him, that he fired, right?
Correct.
That's the whole trial. Guess what? Ashley Babbitt didn't have a gun. So let me get this straight. A Capitol Police officer is allowed to kill a Trump-supporting veteran, white woman, Ashley Babbitt, at the Capitol, allowed to put a bullet in her head, but Kyle Rittenhouse is not allowed to defend himself against BLM-incorporated Antifa child rapists. One of them wasn't a legitimate sexual assaulting child rapist who tried to kill him and trying to use deadly force against him when this guy had a gun pointed at him. The judge understands that what's really happening here, and he's not saying this out loud, and he would deny it if asked. What we are seeing happen in, is this Kenosha County? Is that right? And I know, I've been there many times. I grew up in northern Illinois, so I've been to Kenosha hundreds of times. That what's happening in Kenosha County, what's happening in Wisconsin with this trial, is a question of the equal application of law. Remember, James Madison famously said that the day the laws become so voluminous that people do not know them or how to follow them, it becomes a tyranny because it's then who gets to enforce them. Cicero, the one-year Roman consul, brilliant, said the more laws, the less justice. Well, this one's not tough. This law's not tough. You're allowed to defend yourself against people that want to kill you. This never should have been brought to trial. And the judge knows that. The judge is getting increasingly animated on mostly technical things, but I think it's pent-up frustration and anger because this judge did not get into this line of work to be lectured by some, you know, metropolitan left-wing socialist, Marxist, deconstructionist, anti-constitutional, BLM-sympathizing prosecutor about what the rule of law is. Rittenhouse did not fire his weapon until he was at direct danger, when he was experiencing direct danger. And make no mistake, what's really going on here is the same thing that happened with the McCloskeys. They cannot get rid of guns, so they're going to make it illegal to use your guns. Big Tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. I know the people behind SquadPod. They do a great job. Safely bring together your family, your friends, your team, club, businesses, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without any annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team, and they are true patriots with a mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Great people. Check it out right now. Squadpod.com/Charlie. What you see playing out in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is kind of this collision of different generations, viewpoints, and perspectives and classes all kind of fencing and jousting for their own preferred America that they want to live in. So you have three separate actors that are happening right now, and you have three different kind of symbols that you could put forward. First, you have Kyle, who represents the muscular class. And to be put it very bluntly, he represents young white men trying to find a place in this world. And we've talked about this for quite some time, that there's an attack on men, that not to mention the story we noticed yesterday where you can't even be hired by State Street Capital Advisors as a white person without proper approval. You can't hire white people without approval at State Street. And so Kyle Rittenhouse is kind of a participant. He is a member of a lost generation. And being in this lost generation, he obviously decided to take up target shooting, video games. How dare he do such a thing, as they brought up in his trial. And, you know, some people say, well, Charlie, Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have been there that night. You're right. That's not a crime, though. So doing things you shouldn't do does not mean you should be locked up in prison indefinitely. And save me the soapbox lecturing. Save me the kind of long moralizing. While we had to go watch Wendy's be burned down and $3 billion of damages, and many of the rioters never actually having to be put on trial. Kyle represents the muscular class. And you know what? I have a soft spot for Kyle because I grew up with people just like Kyle, that talk like Kyle, the same sort of accent, that view the world the same way as Kyle. And I will say that the verdict, we'll see, but if he ends up getting acquitted, putting him on trial, I think that a lot of people on that jury said, huh, I have a son just like him. A little bit clueless, a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for, Connor? I don't want to say clueless. I'm not insulting Kyle, by the way, at all. I'm on his team here, okay? He's a little bit clumsy. Naive. Naive and clumsy are great. That's right. And he's just kind of one of the lost boys. And that's not an accusation against him. He's a member of a generation that has made him and a society. And by the way, remember this. This is during some of the harshest unconstitutional and immoral lockdowns that were all across the Midwest. Illinois and Wisconsin were largely locked down. And don't worry, if you were a young Black Lives Matter activist, you were allowed to pillage and plunder, throw Molotov cocktails. But if you wanted to be a young white male, and by the way, you know why he was there, and the prosecution was laying this out. He was there to administer medical support, gauze pads, emergency medical kits. So in the first category of Kyle Rittenhouse, muscular class, young white male, which obviously our society is increasingly hostile towards young white men. They're the problem. They must be rooted out. We have to get rid of whiteness. AT&T tells us that's right. AT&T tells us we have to get rid of whiteness. In the second category, and the most obvious category, and the least surprising, is the self-hating prosecution. Is the college-educated, arrogant, smug, deceitful, elitist, treacherous, double-minded type of prosecution that is kind of like, you know who the prosecution reminds me of? It just came to me. Chris Hayes. Like, if Chris Hayes was a prosecutor, that's who that would be. And this guy, let's use another example. John Ossoff from Georgia. Kind of looks like that, right? Suspiciously skinny, kind of really an ally of BLM Incorporated. So there you have Kyle Rittenhouse, naive, a little clumsy, but no bad intentions. Let me be very clear. The guy breaks down and cries through PTSD because he killed a couple people. He's not celebrating it. He's not looking to the jury with that kind of smug look, which, by the way, you're like, oh, no, of course he isn't. You probably have not seen a lot of murder trials, by the way. There's plenty of times where people look plenty satisfied by what they did. I'm trying to think of an instance where someone did that recently. There was some instance where someone said something or did something. Yeah, you're right. So some of the mass shooters, you're right. The Parkland kid. I'm not going to say his name. The kid from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in Florida. Kyle Rittenhouse is regretful. He's a kid who's still growing up. He's still going through the maturation process. And let's just be honest. Why was this even an issue? This was an issue because of the person who should be on trial, which is the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who did not deploy the National Guard, who did not bring in the police. If the police and the National Guard were doing their job, Kyle Rittenhouse would have showed up with a gun and they would have said, son, go home. We got this. So you see, that's what men would do to a child who shows up to try to do the job. You see the difference? Now, I'm not insulting Kyle. I wanted to say this. I could just see the emails coming in. Charlie, why are you calling Kyle a child? He was 17. Showing up with an AR-15, it's not wise, okay? But he defended himself. He didn't go and start hunting people in the streets. He did not shoot until he was hunted down. So there you have the first category, the muscular class. Kyle Rittenhouse, young white male that society is told to hate and it's increasingly hostile towards. Then you have the prosecution, typical college-educated, smug, arrogant. But then is the interesting third category, which we did not expect, right? We expected the two worldviews colliding, but then now you have this third actor, which is exactly why the country is in the garbage it's in, because this third actor has been so MIA. The third actor is a common sense, non-radical Democrat. It's a common sense, non-radical Democrat. And this judge loves the rule of law. This judge is not having it. This judge is not what Alexander Solzhenitsyn warned in the Gulag Archipelago as being the reason why societies fall apart. He is not an ideologue. This judge was flipping through pamphlets to order Girl Scout cookies or something in the break. I mean, this guy's just a normal guy. He has a Brewers logo right behind him. And this judge is not going to put up with a belligerent and aggressive prosecution that gets to go lock up Kyle Rittenhouse because he satisfies some sort of identity politics villain box. Remember, Joe Biden tweeted out, this is a white supremacist. There is zero evidence at all whatsoever that Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist, except the fact that he's a white person that carried a gun and had his hat backwards. And that filled the sort of archetype of what Joy Reid and Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi think a white supremacist is someone who wears their hat backwards and is white from the Midwest and carries a gun around. Excuse me, that's racism. That's stereotyping. That's prejudice. Put that famous picture up that was just sent by Andrew. You know what I'm talking about. You put this picture up, and this is the same reason, everybody, that we are all living through a manufactured simulation. The simulation is that because of social media and because of the forms of how our mind actually works, going all the way back to Plato, we actually don't do much critical thinking anymore. Now, let me connect three different things together. The same stereotyping we see with Kyle Rittenhouse. And just put this picture up because some people saw this picture like, oh, he's up to no good, because you have been trained, you have been conditioned to believe, oh, white man with his mouth open, AR-15, kind of a fatigue-looking uniform right up on the live stream. He must be up to no good. You see that picture, you say, he must be a racist. Do you know what that picture reminds me of? You can go back to the feed. And that picture reminds me of the same sort of sloppy thinking we saw with the Covington kids. Same thing. This is the Covington trial that never happened. Let me say that again. Kyle Rittenhouse is the Covington kid trial that never happened. The Covington kid trial with the maniac that banged the drum in Nicholas Sandman's face. And they wanted to put him in jail because he was a pro-lifer on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial with a maniac banging the drum in his face, wearing a MAGA hat. They wanted to put him in prison for that, effectively. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse fills that same sort of archetype. Let me give you another example. This is the power of archetypes, everybody, and symbols, which is why when you lose your ability to reason, this is a tragedy. This is collateral damage of the Instagram age. I'll give you another example of this. Border Patrol agents on horseback with ropes whipping migrants. Never happened. But people said, oh, this is so terrible because it brings back memories of slavery. Excuse me? You're trying to tell me you want to now put people off of Border Patrol and in jail because it brings back some sort of unfounded ancestral memories? All they have is a narrative. They don't have facts. They do not have evidence. They don't have reason. They don't have due process. And the judge sees right through this. You do not get to lock up an 18-year-old. Is Kyle now 18 or 19? Whatever. He's 18. You do not get to put him in prison because he put his hat backwards, wore a green shirt, had an AR-15, and looked dangerous. This is the sort of psychological manipulation that so many people fall prey to. That you see someone that is screaming on television, you're like, oh my goodness, I must immediately be scared of that person. And what it is it's the same sort of manipulation that they accuse the right of having towards people of color, which doesn't exist. but they are actually legitimately creating it. Same thing with the McCloskeys. Remember the McCloskeys? You had McCloskey come out in Missouri, even though BLM broke into his fence twice and police did nothing. Do you see a common theme here? Police do nothing. All of a sudden you have vigilantes and people standing up and doing something. Meanwhile, according to The Blaze, anti-white hate crime reached the highest level in two decades in 2020. And let's just cut to the chase. If Kyle Rittenhouse was anything but a white male, this would not be an issue. It's that simple. We know that to be true. If Kyle Rittenhouse would have done what the black police officer did, who killed Ashley Babbitt in cold blood, unarmed, no threat to his life, bang. And by the way, after Lieutenant Michael Byrd did that on January the 6th at the Capitol, he fled the scene. What kind of police officer flees the scene after you put a bullet in someone's head? Meanwhile, Kyle Rittenhouse, 17 years old, turned himself in. I want you to imagine over 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. You could stop imagining because it's a reality. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat is stealing their businesses and robbing you of the quality and flavor that you deserve. That's why Good Ranchers is here. They exist to support local American farms that help you make great American meals. Together, they restore the American ranch and your meals to the former glory. Get the beef, chicken, and seafood that can't be imported or matched at GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com completes three basic needs. Number one, you have to eat. Number two, you want to support the country. Number three, support the Charlie Kirk Show. Did you know the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? Because of the foreign labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Support American beef and meat, everybody. Good Ranchers is here to put America numero uno first at the dinner table and farmers that work to raise the meat we eat. So get a box of meat delivered straight to your home. And last week, Good Ranchers upgraded their website to handle the traffic that came from the listeners of this show. Thank you for supporting Good Ranchers. They support us. If you had trouble ordering last week, GoodRanchers.com is back and better than ever with an extra special limited time offer. Just go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now and get 10 free bistro fillets, and even better, subscribe and save $25 on each box of mouth-watering American meats for life that will show up on schedule right to your door. That's right. Get 10 free bistro fillets. That's $100 value and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use code Charlie at checkout. That's 10 free bistro fillets, free express shipping, and $25 off your subscription for life at goodranchers.com/Charlie. Support the show, support the country, and eat well. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. So there's a lot happening around that. There's so much story. So you guys are going to have to tune in tomorrow. And that's just the lesson of it. We have so much I want to get to. Also, I wanted to get to our fertilizer shortage. It's a big deal. I'm telling you, we look at stories that no one else looks at. We are going to have a friend of mine and a friend of the show, Keith Rose. He has never been wrong about one of these predictions. There is a massive synthetic fertilizer shortage happening in our country right now. Massive. And no one wants to talk about it. Fertilizer shortages threaten to spike food costs. So just be ready for that when all of a sudden we have a food crisis in our country. Where did this come from? We tried to warn you. Fertilizer crisis. Also, thanks to the war on petroleum, it's harder than ever to make synthetic fertilizer. Okay. So to summarize all this together, what's happening in the Rittenhouse saga is the tyranny of double standards, the unequal application of the law, and treating one group of people differently for the same set of circumstances or even more incriminating set of circumstances than others. The McCloskeys are rich, white, property-owning, mansion-dwelling people in the suburbs of St. Louis. Therefore, we must put them in prison, even though they got pardoned, thank goodness. Kyle Rittenhouse is a white, gun-wielding, hat-wearing, you know, wearing the hat backwards, which, oh, that must mean he's up to no good, individual, and therefore he must be penalized or criminalized. And the the threatening of jurors is the most interesting development here. How is that not jury tampering? That George Floyd's cousin says, oh, we got a lot of people taking pictures. We got a lot of people taking pictures of this jury. That is direct threats against the jury. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine if any sort of person that was on trial for the left, if all of a sudden you had any figure on the right say, yeah, you know, we got the pictures of all the jurors. This is such an upside down set of circumstances that we're living in right now. Meanwhile, Twitter has suspended the Libertarian Party of Kentucky's Twitter account for saying that Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong. Did we tweet that out? The same exact word? So we'll see if they suspend us or not. I doubt it. We'll see. And what is the priority of federal law enforcement? Federal law enforcement, run by Merrick Garland, is too busy issuing threats against moms and dads showing up to school board meetings across the country. And Merrick Garland has not yet rescinded his letter, even though the National School Board Association rescinded his letter that he said was the inspiration for that. Now, you'd think jury tampering would be a minor concern for the Department of Justice. Minor detail? No, instead, they're too busy trying to hunt for a diary. Murders are up 80% in Austin, Texas. And the Attorney General Garland, he is signing off on raids against opposition journalists like James O'Keefe. But James O'Keefe, he's an opposition journalist. He's not helpful to the regime. And this is why this Kyle Rittenhouse saga is so incredibly important, everybody, is that if we just kind of sit idly by and don't comment on this and don't call it for what it is, then they can come and take guns from anyone. They can come and take firearms from any person. Kyle Rittenhouse, this is no longer about Kyle Rittenhouse. They are now going to make it not illegal to own guns because they lost that in the court in the Heller decision. No, they're going to make it illegal to use the guns. And better yet, if you're an Antifa left-wing person and you want to kill a Trump supporter, you will be given all the allowances the court and the criminal justice system has ahead of you. In Chicago, gangbangers in the light of day start killing each other. District Attorney Kim Fox lets them all out. James Monroe said, the right of self-defense never ceases. It is among the most sacred and alike necessary to nations and individuals. They want to make you a criminal for defending yourself. They want to make it illegal for standing up against tyranny and anarchy. So we're going to defund the police. We're going to take away your guns. And if you still have the guns, we're going to make it illegal for you to use the guns. That's what's on trial with Kyle Rittenhouse and all the other identity politics, tribalist garbage that's happening in our country right now. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.